Praise God. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise across this auditorium this morning. Hallelujah. He is great, greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be in the house today where the Lord's presence is so mighty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do I know the Lord's here? Because I brought him with me today. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Ghost. You brought the Lord with you today as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to go ahead and read my scriptures, and then we'll have a prayer. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 8:23, this is a very fitting lesson this morning compared to what's going on in the world today with the uncertainty. Amen. But the certainty we have is that our God will keep us through whatever the uncertainty of this world has to throw at us. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:23 begins like this. It says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask this morning, dear God, that you would just keep your hand upon this service. Lord, that you would keep your hand upon each one of us this morning, Lord. Let us open our hearts to what we have need of today for your word to fill that void, hallelujah, to give us comfort, to give us strength, dear God. We ask, Lord, that you would just pour out your blessings and that you would just rain down upon us this morning, Lord. We're asking that your will be done. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. As I said, the title for the sermon this morning for the Bible study is Jesus Calms the Storm. Amen. I know last night as I was preparing to go to bed, why I turned on the news and all of a sudden I heard all of this stuff that was going on, that Iran was attacking Israel, and there was hundreds of drones and hundreds of missiles, and Israel was pretty successful in taking them out. And then later I heard that the United States took some of them out as well. And so in the uncertainty of the mood and the atmosphere that we face this morning, we have one that is solid. Amen. We have one that is unmovable. He don't change because of the situation. One thing I know is that my God is always in control of every situation. Amen. There's always going to be somebody out there to do wrong to you or do wrong to me or do wrong to the church or do wrong to anybody else. There's always somebody out there plotting and planning to do something evil. But we have a God, hallelujah, that will take us through. Amen. This morning in the reading of the scriptures, we see that if you read previously, you'll find that the disciples had just witnessed such miraculous healings. They had witnessed the lepers being cleansed. They had witnessed a woman being healed from a fever, which would have been Peter's mother-in-law. Amen. All manner of sickness had been healed. Amen. They'd seen evil spirits cast out and people delivered. Amen. And so they was yet in for another experience. Amen. That's the thing with God, is that once you get through one thing, he'll take you to the next. Amen. Praise the Lord. They had just witnessed the most miraculous things that they had ever imagined. The healings, a withered hand being just all of a sudden he had a withered hand and the Lord healed and he pulled it out and it was whole, just like the other one. And what a miraculous thing, man. We'd be jumping up and down, shouting, praising God, hallelujah, when cancer's healed, when sickness is healed, when people are delivered, amen, people receiving the Holy Ghost, people getting baptized in Jesus' name. That's an exciting time. And the disciples had just come through an exciting time. But yet the Lord said, now we need to move on to the next place. He said, let's get into this ship. Let's get into this boat. Amen. And if I can just for a moment just kind of think on how I would be feeling, I would be, oh, we're getting on a boat. We're going someplace else. We're going to see some more miraculous things. My God is going to do the miraculous. Amen. And so they didn't have a clue of what the next test was going to be. Hallelujah. And so they're at an all-time high. They'd be like us jumping and shouting, and as they're going down the gangplank to get on the boat. Hallelujah, my God. He just healed. Amen. Everybody that's come to him, he's just cleansed the leper. He's just taken care of every situation. Oh, man, we're on a high. We're ready to go. Kind of like after a camp meeting and you come back to your home church and all of a sudden you sit down and life hits you and reality sets in and you sit on the pew. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe you don't do that. Maybe that's just an experience I've seen over the years. I've only been in this for about 48 years now, so I haven't seen it all. But amen. They were excited. They were excited. Their faith was unshakable, or so they thought. They thought they'd seen it all. They thought, we're just moving on to the next place and we'll pull into the next port and the demons will come out, which they did, and come out against Jesus, and Jesus is just going to rebuke the demons out of them and the demons are going to flee. Man, we're going to the next place. We're going to the next high, to the next mountaintop. But they had to go through the first valley to get to the next mountaintop. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's as we learned why all of a sudden they're out in the middle of the ship, amen, and something began to happen. I don't know if you've ever been out on the water when a storm comes across and starts the waves start coming up and down in a small fishing vessel, amen, on a lake or something, and the waves are beating you, and you feel pretty safe because, you know, I'm in a boat that can handle this. But they were in a boat that wasn't able to handle what was coming at them. They was in a boat that was going to bring imminent death to their mind. They were in a situation where the ship was filling with water. But you know, I find it interesting, and maybe it's just me, I find things interesting sometimes. But I find it interesting that Jesus got in the boat. He knew what was going to happen because God knows everything before it happens because he's already been there, done that. And he walks in the ship. He goes to the hinder part of the ship, fluffs up his pillow, lays down, puts his head on it, and he's sound asleep. I can only imagine that the physical Jesus, the human Jesus, was exhausted because when miracles start coming out of you and you start praying hard, you get exhausted. And I can imagine that Jesus was physically exhausted in human form. Never exhausted in godly form, but physically exhausted because he decided to come here, down here and be like us. And I find that as we know that God operates outside of time and space, but in this case, God stepped into time and space, and he was going to be kind of confined because he can't break his own law. God will not break his own law. If he says it, it's going to be. And so Jesus was tired, and he went back, fluffed up his pillow, and he laid down, and he went to sleep. And I find it interesting that as the boat was being tossed about, the waves were coming in and crashing across the bow, and all of a sudden the people on the ship were getting scared, and they were going to lighten the load, because the first thing you do when you begin to sink is, how can we lighten the load? And I'm sure they started throwing things off of the boat that at first didn't mean things to them, and so they started getting rid of the little things, kind of like we do when we come into church. You know, we get rid of the little things at first, and then the big things are the harder things. But as the storm continued to rage and the storm continued to billow on them, amen, I can only imagine that they started getting rid of the valuable things. The things that maybe meant something to them. Maybe some of the merchandise that they were hauling. I'm not sure what the ship was. I'm only imagining what they would do in their panic mode. And they begin to lighten the load, begin to throw things off, and all of a sudden they got the things that meant everything to them. And they got down to where there was nothing left except for themselves. They had nothing left to throw overboard, perhaps. And then all of a sudden, they said, we got to go down to the Lord. But what I find interesting is that through all of the chaos, through all of the rigmarole, through all of the uproar, through all of the fretting, through all of the fear, Jesus never woke up. When they found the Lord, he was still sleeping on his pillow. He knew in himself that he said, we're going to the other side. Didn't matter if the ship became a submarine, we're getting to the other side. And he went to sleep. And he didn't wake up. The commotion didn't bother him. The commotion didn't arouse him. See, God don't get affected by our emotions. God doesn't let his reasoning and his wisdom become affected by fear. Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. But it also says that perfect love casteth out fear. So, but if you look at what you're talking about, you'll find that there are two types of fear. There's a human fear that you're afraid of who's going to come through and what's going to happen. And then there's a godly fear of respect and honor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus is sound asleep, and they come down there, and I can only imagine that they have to shake him. Jesus. What's wrong with you guys? What do you want? What do you mean, what do we want? Don't you care? We're perishing. We're going to die. The Lord says, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Oh, ye of little faith. I told you we was going to the other side. That should have been good enough. Sometimes we as human beings, we need proof. Sometimes we as human beings, we've got to have that. You know, I find that even myself, when I get down and pray, and I know that I have the Holy Ghost, and I begin to seek the Lord, and I begin to call on the Lord, amen. I need that touch in prayer that tells me that God is with me. That's my human side. I need that. Hallelujah. Husbands, you need to tell your wives you love them. They need that. Need that assurance. Wives, you need to tell your husbands you love them. You know, let them go buy that vehicle that they want. Or, honey, what caliber is it that you want today? What's your favorite caliber? I guess you have to be a guy maybe to understand what I'm talking about. 9mm, 5.56. Amen. But Jesus is there, and he says, oh, ye of little faith. All they could see around them was a storm. All they could see was the waves crashing across the bow. All they could see is the boat was filling up with water, and they had already lightened the load. They got rid of everything they could think of, and they were still sinking, and they were scared. And the Lord said, okay, you woke me up. I'm not sure what I need to do next, but I find that the Lord had to fulfill everything about who he was before he finished. I have to ask a question to myself and to possibly you, possibly me. What does God have to do in your life yet? You know, if you're here, if you may be here for the first time, God already knew you was going to be here. So nothing is accidental in the kingdom of God. When you invite somebody to church and they come to church, it's by God's design when they show up. And so It's kind of like the Lord is looking and he sees that you're here. So you come back the second time, God is ready and he's going to move a second time on you. He's going to do something to you the second time because you're not here by accident. You're here this morning. We're all here. We come to worship the Lord. We come to maybe hear me say something that might cause us to think a little bit. Cause us possibly to look into our own lives and say, okay, Lord, what is it that I need to change about me so I can be closer to you? Do I have to wake you up this morning because I'm in the middle of a trial and I just don't know where to go and I need you to get out of your sleep and I need you to come out and I need you to still the atmosphere around me? That's what the disciples were crying for. Lord, I woke you up for a purpose. I woke you up. I know you're exhausted. I've seen everything that's done. We've just seen all of these miraculous healings. We've just seen everything that could be possible done. But all of a sudden, we're about to see something that's impossible that's going to be accomplished. Jesus was about to show them something that they had never witnessed, never had been recorded in the time of history. Jesus was going to step out and he was going to give them something to stand on. And so he walked out and he was with them the whole time and he was asleep and they woke him up, they cried and they're saying, Lord, we're going to die. You've got to help us. And he just said, okay. And he walked out and he said, wind, cease. Waves, stop. And everything went calm. How many of us have ever been in the midst of something and all of a sudden you get to the end of it and everything in your life is kind of like, ah, got through that. Oh, didn't think I could do it. But you see, with Jesus on board, you can get through anything. With Jesus on board in your life, the storms that rage around you, what's going on in the Middle East today and what may happen tomorrow and what may happen the next day, we don't have to fear because I have a promise. I have a promise that God's going to deliver me one day from this situation that I'm in. This human effect that is keeping me here is going to one day be gone. But Jesus stepped out, and for the first time in recorded history, someone said to the wind to stop blowing, and it quit. Someone said to the sea to stop raging, and it's calmed. And the Bible says it wasn't just calm. You know, if you've ever been fishing and the storm blows through, it's still a little rocky here and there. But the Bible says that it was a great calm. I can only imagine when Jesus said, wind stop blowing, that there was no wind to blow the sails anymore because he told it to quit blowing. When he told the sea to quit raging, that the waves were not going to be pushing the boat anymore. But you know what? They didn't care about that anymore. They looked around and the wind stopped blowing and the sea stopped raging and they looked around and all of a sudden they said, what manner of man is this that even the elements obey him? Who is this? Let's not just go back to the fact that we've seen the lepers healed. Let's not go back to the fact that we've seen sickness healed. Let's not go back to the fact and say we've seen the withered hand restored brand new again. Let's not go back to the fact that we've seen all these evil spirits cast out. And all of a sudden, they're saying, now, wow. That's what we should be saying about Jesus. Wow. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. After all the miracles they've seen, they were still so amazed. Amen. I can relate to them because every time I see the Lord do something mighty, amen, I see someone healed, I see someone receive the Holy Ghost, I see somebody being baptized in Jesus' name. I step back and I say, wow, God still got it. Wow, he's going to change their life. Wow, what can I do to help them and to encourage them and to keep them going? Hallelujah. Wow, my God is mighty. I look back at my life and I can see how mighty he is. But sometimes we ourselves, we know what God has done for us, but when we see it happen to somebody else, we sometimes step back and, wow, God still is in control. Hallelujah. Amen. It amazes me sometimes how merciful God is to people. His mercy is great. It amazes me at some of the people that I know over the course of my time coming into church that they're here. And then they look at me, and I met a friend who's a childhood friend, and it's been my wife had her cataract surgery, and we stopped in to a restaurant in Columbia City and ate, and all of a sudden in came one of my childhood friends that I hadn't. I mean, we're friends on Facebook, but you know how that goes. You just like and, you know. There's really no connection on Facebook, folks. It's nice to know what's going on, but there's really not that physical connection like you do when you gather together in church and you have brothers and sisters around you and you can enjoy the presence of God together and you have something you unite in unity of the Spirit, because that's why we're here. We're here to see God do something. Amen. He walked in, him and his wife and his granddaughter, and he seen me, and I seen him, and I got up from the table, and we walked over, and I shook his hand, and I hugged his neck. You know, the world don't do that. And I hugged his neck and said, yeah, it's good to see you. And he stepped back and said, well, it's good to see you, man. It's been so long. He said, are you still in church? You see, because he's one of the ones that when I got come to church said it'll never last. He's one of the ones that said, oh, yeah, there'll be a day and he'll be back here with us. And this is a phase. I'm still in my phase. I said, yes, I am. I said, and if you watch my Facebook, you know that I am. He said, yeah. He said, I seen that you retired, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, I just retired too. And so we caught up a little bit, but. You know, it always amazes me is that how there are somebody out there, they're not patting you on the back because you've come out of where you was and you've improved your life and you've become better than you were. They're out there waiting for it. They drive a stake in the sand and say that when he gets to that point, he's gonna fail. And you just walk past that point and they drive another stake and another stake and another stake. It's been about 40 years, and I can only imagine all of the stakes in my life that I've walked past because of the goodness of God. Because I said, wow, God, you can do all things. Not only can you do all things, but the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I can't. The disciples couldn't make it across the sea in that boat alone. They had to have Jesus, but they had to go down. And I find that Jesus was exactly where he was when they started the journey. He did not move. And he has yet to move. Your journey started, and he's still exactly where he was when he began. We catch up to him. He don't catch up to us. Hallelujah. Amen. And I find it so amazing. And people say, well, they said, well, the first thing the human psyche said, don't you care? We're dying. You're down here sleeping. We're up there trying to save our lives. We're throwing everything overboard. We're getting rid of everything. And you're down here sleeping. Don't you care? You know, he did. He did care. But he had to show them something. There was a lesson to be learned here. In our walk with God, at everything we face, there's a lesson to be learned. And if we don't learn it, we'll repeat it. Because God is faithful. And he will put that trial back on you every time until you overcome it, because he knows you can overcome it. Hallelujah. Corinthians tells us that he's faithful, he's just, and that he won't put more on you than you're able to bear. But what I think most people in trials miss is he said, but that through the trial, he'll make that way of escape. Doesn't say he's going to take you, the trial, away from you. He says he's going to give you the power, the ability, the strength, the spiritual common sense to get through the trial. And in that trial, you just have to look for the exit to get out. It's kind of like driving down the interstate. You know, you may be going 75 miles an hour and you're on four lanes of traffic, and I don't know if you've ever driven the inner and outer loop around Washington, D.C., but that's a mess. I had to go around it three times one time to get in the lane that I wanted to get in, to get off. I'm cruising around, and I'm getting ready to go to the airport to fly out, and I was cruising around. Oh, it's up there. Well, there's so many cars, you can't get over. And believe me, people in that area, they're not very kind, you know. They're in a big hurry to get to wherever it is they're going, and they're not there to give you room to get into their lane. So I missed it, and I said, okay. I see an opportunity. I got in this lane, and I'm driving around, and I'm trying to get into the next lane because I know I'm getting ready to come up to it again. It's just a circle. I'm driving in circles three times. I'm driving in circles three times to get in the lane I wanted to go. Sometimes that's us with God. We're driving in circles to get into the right lane because we missed the exit. And God is just, and he is just so kind to let us continue to drive in circles until we get in the lane that we need to get into so we can get off. That's pretty common. That seems to be pretty common to situations. And so the Lord delivered them, and with amazement, they were amazed at the power that Jesus had. They were amazed that he could calm the storm so quickly, because they had fought it for so long. It had been raging for a period of time, and they had fought it for such a lengthy time that when Jesus calmed it, they were amazed that he calmed it so quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that, amen, it's customary in Israel that when you begin to say, and I don't know that the Jewish people do it so much anymore, where they twice a day would recite Deuteronomy 6:4-9, and they would cover their eyes. You know, sometimes you just need to cover your eyes. What happens when we pray, and when Pastor Johnson says, let's stand, and everyone, every eye closed, and just begin to pray. Why is it? It isn't that he doesn't want you to see who's standing next to you. But perhaps you close your eyes because as long as you have your eyes open, you can see obstacles. You have your eyes open and you can see everything going on around you. Well, he said to close your eyes, and they don't have their eyes closed. Well, then neither do you. If you've seen that, neither do you. Perhaps he don't want you to see the child low crawling under the pews and looking around to see if their mom or dad knows what they're doing. He don't want you to be distracted, because as long as you're able to be distracted, you'll never see the things God wants you to see. And so they would cover their eyes, and they would recite, hallelujah, these verses, amen, with their eyes closed so that they wouldn't be distracted. Amen. And sometimes we come to church and we sit in the pew and we get distracted. You know, if you sit in front of me and you hear me sing, you're liable to say, well, I'm not sitting in front of him no more. You know, I sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me. Hallelujah. Distractions coming from every aspect of life. Sometimes we just have to close our eyes when we're in church and when we're together. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is doing. It doesn't matter that a child has got away from his parents and is low crawling, as long as they don't bite you on the ankle while they're doing it. You say, well, Brother Yenna, why would you say that? Been bit on the ankle before. That's a distraction. But God doesn't want us to be distracted by one another. He wants us to unite together. And by uniting together, we have to get our eyes off of whatever is going on around us. I think that when the Lord calmed the sea the way that he did, and they just needed to know that he was the God that could control everything. He wasn't just a God to come to when you need a healing. You know, he's not just someone you come to when you need a blessing, a financial blessing. He's a God that can control and calm every aspect of our life if we allow him to. If we allow him, he will, it's not going to take the pain of the situation away. It's not going to take the experience of the situation away. The men still remembered the wind blowing, still remembered the waves crashing, still remembered the fear that they felt, still remembered all of the emotions that was going on. Amen. They still remembered everyone that was throwing whatever they had off over the side of the boat trying to save themselves. They still had that memory. But what they added to their arsenal in their memory was the fact is that Jesus could calm the storm. And so the experience didn't go away, because we learn by experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus knows that we learn by experience. So when we close our eyes and we remove all the distractions, we're not worried about what someone else is doing. We're not worried about if they're looking at me and think I'm half a bubble off a plum. Got to be my age to know what that means. I'm not quite perpendicular. I may be tilted just a little bit. They know I don't. It doesn't matter. When I'm seeking the Lord and when I'm got my mind on him and my eyes are closed, amen, I may be going back and forth and doing this and doing that, and it doesn't matter to me if you think, well, he is nuts. Because, you see, I'm not looking at the distractions. The one that's looking at me is looking at the distractions, and they can't get their mind on God the way that they should because they're looking at the distractions. Don't let these things distract us. Don't let these things in life that comes along, and they're going to come along. This is life. I understand that right now that I'm in the latter part of my life, and I'm good with that. There was a time in my life, and it was my 25th birthday. And my wife will tell you, I came home from work, I sat down in the living room in my recliner, and she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm 25. "Okay, you're 25. "No, you don't understand. I'm halfway to 50. She said, "So?" She wasn't going through my story. I tell you, I looked at that, I thought, man, I'm halfway to 50. My life is ending. I blew past 50 20 years ago now. And my life is still going on. You know, after that day in my life, that birthday, that depression, whatever it was I went through, after that day, I haven't had a care about how old I was from that day forward. Because I overcame that. Now I look forward to these things. Amen. And so that's what happens when we get our eyes off of the situations around us. That's what happens when we begin to focus on what the Lord wants us to do, and we begin to focus on his will. His will. Hallelujah. Amen. With the both of our eyes closed just for a moment, just right now, I want you to just, if you would, humor me. Close your eyes right now and just get your mind on the Lord. Amen. Regardless of what's going on in your life, and I know we all have problems. I know we're all going through things. I know there are situations. You may need a healing in your body. You may need something in your spirit touched. Amen. Just get your eyes on the Lord and begin to think on Him and begin to try to feel His presence in your body. Maybe that tingle running down your back. Maybe that tingle running at the end of your fingers. Amen. Maybe your body, I don't know if you've ever been there where you're praying and your body just seems like it all goes to sleep and it's all tingling all over. That sensation of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Nothing around you matters. Amen. Nothing that's going on beside you matters. The person next to you doesn't matter anymore because you have your eyes closed and you're seeking the Lord and you're wanting something from Him, not maybe something physical, maybe just something spiritual, a little spiritual touch this morning. Amen. Maybe somebody's here that has not made a way to the altar of repentance before, and you just want to feel the Lord. You want to know, God, are you really real? Are you here with me? Can I feel Him? Hallelujah. Can I feel Him? Because now all the distractions are gone. Everything is off. Only thing you hear is me just trying to get you to keep your eyes closed. Because God doesn't want you to be distracted. He doesn't want you to worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will take care of itself. Amen. He doesn't want you sitting here this morning saying, well, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will be here soon enough. No need to worry about that. Hallelujah. God is always in control. Jesus is ready now for us to venture into new areas. He's ready for, once we get past what we're going through, He's ready for to fulfill the next step in our spiritual walk. Amen. In our quest, if you will, for heaven. One thing I have learned in all of my years, and I'm not a very smart individual, but I've learned one thing, is that every one of us that are here this morning has started from someplace. And it's not been the same place. But we're all walking to one place. Man, you may have started over here. The Lord's over here. You've had to come from here over to here to walk that straight and narrow path. Amen, because there's not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. Hallelujah. Maybe it was over here. Amen. Maybe some of you had alcohol problems. Maybe there was drug addictions. Maybe there was tobacco. Amen. I could tell you, I was a slave to Red Man's Gold and Marlboro. Because if I couldn't have Marlboro, I could have Skoal. If I didn't have Skoal, I had Red Man. So I was a slave to that. So I had to come from there to here. Hallelujah. And I don't know where your path came from. But God has brought us all from a path. Amen. At various points in our lives. I know Pastor Johnson talks about him as a child and the Lord drawing on him and he knew where he was going. Well, I was well past childhood when God began to call on me and got me to where I knew where I wanted to go. Hallelujah. We all started from someplace, but we all started. That's the key. We all started. We all have to start. We all have a starting point, but we have only one destination point. And so there may be 500 different locations of starting. But we all have to get to the one location of finishing. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus wanted the disciples to see His power. Why? Because in Luke 24 and 44, He tells them this. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Now Jesus has been crucified. He's already been in the grave. He's already resurrected. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. Amen. He's getting ready to leave His gospel to you and me. If I was Him, I'd have been scared to death to say, I'm going to leave my gospel with you. But see, He knew you could do it. knows you can do it. He knows you can do it. He has confidence in our pastor. He's here guiding the ship here today. He knows he can do it. Hallelujah. He says, continuing on, he says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. I find that kind of curious because he says, while I was yet with you, which again solidifies the fact that he's already been to the grave. He's already been to the cross. He's already resurrected, and he's getting ready to leave again. He says that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He could not leave. Even after everything that he went through, after everything he suffered, he had to go through every process step by step because it was spoken of before he was here in human form. Moses spoke of it before the children of Israel went into the promised land. Everything Moses had to say was before Israel left the wilderness. You see, because Moses didn't go into the promised land, so he had to get it all done before they got there. He cared about them. He loved them. And so everything that Moses said, Jesus had to fulfill. Everything the prophets said, Jesus had to fulfill. Everything that was in the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He had to fulfill. And he says, okay, now I have fulfilled them, and now I'm going to leave it with you. I had to do this. It wasn't optional because, you see, God doesn't operate outside of his own will. See, there are people who think, well, there's 100 ways to heaven. You can get to heaven any way. You get there your way. I'll get there my way. And we'll just meet up there on the streets of gold, and we'll jump, shout, and hoot, and holler. Amen. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there's one way. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's not whatever, just because you don't want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to be baptized in the red rooster.
As well, you don't want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, I want to be baptized in Bob. Oh, no, I don't. I want to be baptized Brother Johnson's going to baptize me, so I want to be baptized in his name. Because, see, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. The Bible says there's one way. You can only get there. Jesus said, I had to fulfill all of these things. I had to fulfill all of the prophecies. I had to fulfill all of the commandments. And only then, when all of that is finished, can I leave. I can't leave until my job is done. I can't leave until it's time for me to go. Amen. When he controlled the wind and the waves and the sea, that was just one more prophecy that was out of the way. And he had witness. He had his 12 disciples, and he had whoever else may have been in the boat that I don't know about. He left with a record. The multitude seen him heal the lepers. The multitude seen him heal the sick. The multitude seen him cast out demons and deliver. And so the record is clear. Jesus fulfilled what he came here to do. And now we're here. Because the promise that we have, and he said it, greater works than these shall ye do. Because I'm going to the Father. We have opportunity to do greater works. He's left the church in charge to do greater. How can we do greater? My goodness, we have opportunity on every street corner. Every street corner we have opportunity to do something. There's somebody, I was reading the news, and there was an individual up in Chicago And he had his barber shop. He's self-taught. He became very, very prominent in Chicago as a barber. And one day, some lady lost control of her vehicle and drove her car right through the middle of his shop. And he still doesn't have a shop today. But one day a week, he goes out on the streets of Chicago to the homeless and gives free haircuts. There's opportunities for the church. He sets a little folding chair on the street corner. He's got his little cart with him. He's got his all of his items charged up. The batteries are charged up, and everything is right there. He's got the little cape, and he calls the little homeless. Would you like a haircut? Hey, you look to me like you could use a haircut and a shave. No, not really. He's already got a haircut and a shave. You look to me like you could use something to make you feel better about yourself. And the one individual that was being spoken to, amen, he was sitting in the fold-up chair. It wasn't anything fancy, just a folding chair. Had the cape around him, and he was buzzing his hair, and he cleaned up his beard. And at the end, when he got it all done, he stood up, and he looked in the mirror, and he says, "Man, I forgot how good I looked." And it didn't cost him a penny. Well, this doesn't cost anything either. You don't know how good you can look in the kingdom of God till you get there. Jesus wants you in the kingdom of God. You're here because you're designed to be here. You're here this morning because God knew you was going to be here. And now it's up to you to do whatever you need to do for the Lord to thank him for allowing you to be here. And if you come back Wednesday, if you come back next Sunday, God knows that you're going to be here. So you might as well just get on the boat, however rocky it is, and say, "Lord, just me and you. Just me and you. Praise the Lord." Amen. Let's stand this morning. Amen. We've got just a few minutes before our next service. I'm excited about what God's doing, excited about what God's going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.